Hello, and today's show is all about the guitar. I've got a special performance from virtuoso guitarist Martin Taylor recorded at the Glasgow Jazz Festival. I'll also be joined by the young, gifted, award-winning talent Rob Luft with music from his impressive debut. And together we'll also be paying tribute to the incandescent star player, the late John Abercrombie. But first up, here's the irresistible Grant Green in 69 with Ease Back.
Thank you.
Grant Green in fine and funky style playing the boogaloo, and that was Ease Back, giving definition to the term getting your groove on, taken from his Blue Note album Carrying On. And we carry on now to the music of a burgeoning UK talent turning heads and ears throughout the nation. My special guest on today's show, it's guitarist Rob Luft, who makes his debut as a leader with a new release featuring a talented young band that includes Joe Wright on tenor saxophone, Joe Webb on Hammond organ, piano and harmonium, Tom McCready's on bass, Corey Dick is on drums, and Rob Luft guitar. Before I speak with Rob, let's hear his music, and this is Beware. Thank you. Beware from guitarist Rob Luft's debut album on Edition Records called Riser. And welcome, Rob. It's great to have you on the show.
Thank you very much. Hello, Julian.
It's great to see you. Now, the last time I saw you, you were playing with the Patchwork Orchestra.
Yes.
And you also had your own group, which was quite a different direction from this album.
Exactly. That was a quartet, which I'm still playing in, called Big Bad Wolf, which, as you say, is a more textural rock kind of jazz project. Yeah.
So what made you go with this project first? Was it just because it was you at the helm and it's Rob Luft, the guitarist?
I think it was mainly that I wanted to just feature my own songs and my own compositions, whereas with the other project, Big Bad Wolf, and with several other projects that I play in, we co-write the songs, or I write the music and a singer will write my lyrics to my melodies. So this really was my first chance to release a recording of my own music, which is great.
Step out on your own. That's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
Well, also, the last time we heard you on this show was as the featured player in the European Jazz Orchestra with musical director Tommy Smith. Tell us a little bit about that.
That's correct. Yeah, that was a fantastic couple of gigs we did up in Scotland, with Tommy directing a suite that Kenny Wheeler wrote, an unrecorded suite, actually, called Sweet Sister Suite. And at the time, it was unrecorded. And in February this year, I actually went up to Edinburgh to record the music with Tommy's own big band, the SNJO. So that will surface at some point. I'm not sure when, but there is a recording of it now.
Fantastic. It's great. Forward to that one.
Yeah.
Well, also, the title Riser is a comment on yourself as a composer and as a player. Tell us that story.
Yeah, yeah, sure. The reason I chose the word riser is because obviously a riser is something you find in places like Ronnie Scott's. It's a very small stage that elevates the, you know, a typical like quintet or something. It's like a bandstand.
Sure.
And that's the kind of place where I grew up playing music, in places like the Vortex and the 606, where the jazz group is not really on a proper stage. And it's just kind of an homage to that, which is where I really feel at home, at somewhere like, you know, Vortex or whatever. And it's great to have it as the title of my first album, because it obviously also refers to the rise of me as a composer or as a guitar player. And it's kind of got different meanings to it. But yeah, it's a kind of funny play on words, really.
Well, 2016 was an amazing year for you because you got second prize in the Montreux Jazz Guitar Competition. You're the winner of the prestigious Kenny Wheeler Music Prize, which we were talking about, Kenny. But also you won several prizes at the Peter Whittingham Award as well.
That's right, with a big band that's co-led with Misha Mullivabardo, Scott Chapman, several people, Tom Green, all co-lead this big band. And we were really lucky to win this award in late 2015, I believe it was.
Well, guitar is the focus of today's show, and you've selected some of your favourite tracks to share with our listeners. And also, you've had a sneak preview of tonight's concert sets, which I'm going to get you to talk about maybe a little bit later on. But what piece of music would you like to direct our attention to first, Rob?
The first piece I'd like to play on today's show is by the great jazz guitar player Bill Frisell, whose music contains influences from Americana, country music, classical music. And this piece is called Throughout, and it's from his debut album, Inline.
And there's something about the form that we should pay attention to.
Yeah, it is. It's an extremely short form that repeats over and over again. I think it's kind of 16 bars or something, extremely short, and it just grows and grows, and he improvises so beautifully over it, and it concludes in a really lovely kind of country-inspired way.
the sumptuous sound of Bill Frisell with Throughout from the album Inline, and that was recorded in 1983. And Inline was his debut album, wasn't it, Rob?
It was indeed, yeah. He made a string of albums for ECM in the 1980s and also recorded in Paul Motion's trio. For me, my absolute favourite period for ECM, this 85, 83, it's amazing.
Yeah. Well, we spoke of Kenny Wheeler and his music, and I believe you have a quote from Kenny Wheeler.
I do indeed, yes. When Abercrombie passed away recently, I discovered this fantastic quote from someone who interviewed John. And because obviously John and Bill played with Kenny Wheeler a lot. Yeah. And when someone asked Kenny about John and Bill, this is what John said in this interview. Somebody asked Kenny one time, because he had used Bill Frisell to do some projects, and somebody asked him what he thought the difference between playing with Bill Frisell and me was. And Kenny said, "Well, when I play with Bill, I hear campfires and horses and cowboys. And when I play with Abercrombie, I hear taxis and New York traffic."
It's so apt, isn't it?
It's fantastic.
It's so apt. And we just heard the campfires and horses with cowboys.
Exactly. That's the one.
So the piece that I've chosen now as we continue our journey through the guitar in jazz is a piece on a Jeff Tane Watts album, a recent album that features the talents of guitarist Kevin Eubanks. And Kevin Eubanks, is that someone you're very familiar with?
Kevin Eubanks is a big hero of mine for two particular reasons, actually. He's one of the, perhaps the only guitarist to have played in Art Blakey's Jazz Messengers, which is quite a large achievement, I would say, because that's one of my favourite bands in jazz, full stop, the Messengers. So amazing that Kevin was he played on a live recording they did. And he also played in this Dave Holland Quartet Prism, which I saw recently, totally blown away. Love his sound, love his playing, just totally into it.
There's many interesting things about his playing, because he has that tradition that goes from Wes Montgomery and Grant Green, who we heard at the top of the show. And then he also has all that fusion vocabulary that John Abercrombie was so important in formulating, but in particular John McLaughlin. And also he's got that sensibility, that R&B and bebop sensibility, and he uses odd time meters.
Yes, actually, I should say as well that Dave Holland recording in the 80s, again on ECM, Extensions, I believe is the name of the album. Incredible. And that's Kevin Eubanks, Marvin Smitty Smith, Dave, and Steve Coleman.
Yeah.
Odd time signatures, incredible to hear the guitar played like that. Yeah.
He is influenced by Jimi Hendrix, the blues, and he's all wrapped up in this wonderful sense of swing. And this track represents that. This is called Cleo. Thank you. The little cymbal sound there of Tane, and that was the guitar of Kevin Eubanks, featured on Jeff Tane Watt's album Blue Volume 2. And that was a piece called Clear, and the album is available on Dark Key Music. Dwayne Dolphin is the bass player on that, Rob, and it's very much a duet, isn't it, between Tane and Kevin Eubanks?
Yeah, it's beautiful. It's so great to hear a trio with guitar, bass and drums sounding like a quintet, or at the very least a piano trio. Someone of Kevin's stature is able to really juggle the chord melody style and also the blues of someone like Grant Green, who we heard earlier on the show. So it's fantastic to hear that.
Well, this is Jazz Lineup with me, Julian Joseph, online, on FM and on digital radio. And I'm joined by my special guest, Rob Luft. And today it's all about the guitar, the sounds, approaches and styles in all its wondrous glory. And stay tuned for our tribute on guitar hero John Abercrombie coming up later. But for now, it's time for highlights from our concert performance, recorded on the Jazz Lineup stage at the Glasgow Jazz Festival, where we featured the finesse and fingerstyle dexterity of the brilliant Martin Taylor. Has Martin's playing impacted on yours, Rob?
Yeah, recently I've found myself playing with a lot of singers, a lot of great singers, people like Leanne Carroll, who demand a high level of accompaniment because they are very serious musicians, people like this. And Martin's solo playing is absolutely unparalleled. I've heard people like Pat Metheny directing students to listen to Martin Taylor's playing as a reference point for how to play the guitar unaccompanied. Yeah. And as a result, I remember seeing him at the Proms with Guy Barker in 2012. Actually, not in a solo context, but it's just great to hear him. I love hearing him play live. Yeah. And it's a big influence on how to play the guitar without a rhythm section.
Well, his solo conception is monumental. What is it particularly, do you think, about the way he designs the playing on guitar?
For me, it's his ability to juggle harmony, melody and a great sense of groove, which is so relaxed and is swinging. And if he's playing in a funkier style, it's groovy because he's done, you know, he covers a fair few pop things and a fair few soul songs. And the way he's able to maintain such a relaxed sense of groove and keep the tempo rock solid and also improvise melodies over changes with no one else. I mean, on the piano, it's maybe slightly different because of the old two-hand thing. But with the guitar, you're kind of just a right hand in some ways.
Sure.
And it's just incredible. Yeah, it's an inspiration.
Did you ever check out the way Stanley Jordan plays guitar?
Yeah, Stanley Jordan is absolutely killing. Again, I've actually taken a few things from Stanley Jordan. I remember Mike Walker, when I had a few lessons with him, showed me some stuff that Stanley Jordan does. And that's, again, a very different way of doing it. Maybe I should investigate, do some homework.
Well, you see, both Martin and Stanley are both inspired by the piano, because I remember Martin was saying to us that he'd been checking out Bill Evans, and he's like, how can I do that on guitar? You know, but obviously it's much broader than just one influence. But it's sort of unpicking and unfurling and redesigning how you play the guitar in a way that's so full.
Yeah, it's so full and so so rewarding to listen to, so perfectly executed.
So we're going to hear the music, Rob. Any standout performances here?
From the very first note of this concert, where Martin is sitting on a two-chord vamp and really just generating this incredibly relaxed, groovy, swinging vibe, to the last piece that he plays in the gig, which is he plays on this incredible metallic guitar made out of a kind of chip oil canister or something, he's able to create the sound of a kind of the Caribbean or the kind of steel pan sound, which I absolutely love, by the way.
Yeah.
A performance full of joy, really, for me.
It's beautiful. Well, before we hear the music, let's head to the festival where Jazz Lineup's Kevin Legendre caught up with Martin ahead of the performance.
So, Martin, we're backstage at the Glasgow Jazz Festival. It's a really lively afternoon. And you are holding your guitar because you're going to be on soon. Do you always like to be connected to the instrument just before you get on stage?
Just before I play, yeah. Before that, I don't really like to look at it or touch it. I just like to think about it. But usually just before I play, because really for me, playing the guitar, I need to very much be in touch with it. It's one of the reasons I like to play, not with a plectrum, but to play fingerstyle, because you're completely in touch with it. That there's no disconnection that you would have with a pick. So sometimes I just like to pick it up and just get that feeling with it. This is something I always tell my students about, because they're often ask me about practicing. I think it's very important that whenever we pick the guitar up, whatever musical instrument we play, it's to do with connecting and reconnecting with the instrument. When you first pick up an instrument cold, it just feels like this lump of wood that you're going to have to try and produce some music from. But just having the guitar with you, because I started playing guitar when I was really young. I was about 4 or 5 years old. So I didn't have this feeling of the guitar being separate from me. I grew up with it, so it was almost like another limb. so that's what I try to encourage my students to find, that kind of connection. This is a way of doing it, of just being with the guitar all the time. Sometimes I'll sit at home and just have the guitar with me, but I won't actually play it.
Does that mean that there's a really big difference between an electric and an acoustic and a solid-bodied guitar and a hollow-bodied guitar in terms of the connection you have and how it will resonate against you?
Yeah, there is. With acoustic guitars, of course, you have to produce the sound yourself. I don't play classical guitar, but I do have a classical guitar, and that's the most extreme version of that, where the guitar will not play itself. You have to work very hard to produce every single note on that guitar. For me, it's actually too much. Whereas with my guitar, playing these kind of archtop jazz guitars, I can get so many different inflections and tonal range out of the guitar, and it's all done with fingers. Now, with an electric guitar, it's not as crucial, because you can get the setup of the electric guitar, you can get a really good sound, electric sound, and it's, in many ways, it's a lot easier. But for me, it's not quite as satisfying as having this kind of guitar where you have to produce all the sound, all the nuances and the dynamics yourself.
But when you're playing solo, are you more inclined to use effects to maybe give a more orchestral flavour to the music?
No, I never use effects other than reverb. It's just everything's really in the fingers. Because I play fingerstyle, so it's not using a pick, but playing just with the fingers of the right hand, more like a classical player, what I can do is every single note that I play, I can allocate a different volume and a different tone to them. So I'm not playing every single note. If I'm playing with my thumb and three fingers, so I'm playing those four notes there, they all have a different volume and a different tone and texture to them. That's why very good guitar players come up to me and they say, "Is that a stereo pickup? Or, you know, what is that?" No, it's actually, it all comes from the fingers.
So presumably the way you chord then must be very, very precise.
Yes, it is a very precise thing. You've got to have the kind of mind where you can get into detail. Very often you won't hear what I'm doing, but hopefully you'll feel it.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about your history, because you have played with some legends, people like Stefan Grappelli, the great violinist, and Toots Thielemans, the harmonica player, as well as writing a lot of original music. What do you take from those people? Because the likes of Grappelli and Thielemann, they really are historic figures.
Well, I was very fortunate, because playing from such an early age, that I got to work with these people. I was 22 when I first worked with Stefan, and I toured with him for 11 years. So it was like being a bridge, really, in a way, from the old days to the contemporary days. So that's kind of how I feel about that. I recently made a list of all the female singers that I'd worked with over the years. And one of the singers in that was Adelaide Hall, and they said, you can't possibly have worked with Adelaide Hall because she'd be about 127 by now. But I did, but she was an older lady, and I was very young at the time. So that's one of the wonderful things when you play music when you're very young and you get to play with these fantastic musicians. You become like a bridge, and then it becomes very important actually to pass that on, what I've learned and what I got from those musicians, because very often it's not what the younger players would think.
Do you feel that you're absorbing some history as well? Because obviously with Grappelli, you've got the whole Hot Club chapter of jazz history. You've got the connection with Django Reinhardt, you know, these great masters of swing guitar.
Yeah. Also, you know, it's that now we live in a time when it's a wonderful thing that we have jazz education, and you can go to colleges and study jazz. It's an amazing thing to do. Things that took me about 10 years to figure out. You know, my students kind of do that in just a few months with my guidance, because I didn't have anyone to teach me. So I was kind of one of that last generation of musicians, jazz musicians, that didn't study, didn't go to a college, and just played with other musicians, went on the gig. I learned to play on the gig. And my dad was a jazz musician, so, you know, I just grew up with the music.
Martin, we're really looking forward to your set, so thanks very much.
Well, thank you. It's always great to be back in Glasgow and playing at the festival. Thank you. Georgia. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you. This is a nice way to spend the afternoon. Yeah, I love it. When I was 16, I was in a band. We went to New York and spent 2 years on the east coast of America and spent a lot of time in the Caribbean. So I'm going to try and get a little bit of Caribbean vibe going on here. Ah. This is so weird playing a tin can. But anyway... Thank you very much, everyone. Thank you.
The sound of guitar man Martin Taylor thrilling the audience at the festival in Glasgow with Down at Kokomo's. And for details of all the music you've heard on the show, check out the Radio 3 website. This is Jazz Lineup with me, Julian Joseph, on FM, online, and on digital radio. And with me is UK guitar talent Rob Luft, celebrating all things jazz guitar. Well, Rob, just recently the jazz world was saddened to receive the news of guitar maverick John Abercrombie's passing.
Yeah, it's a big blow, actually, because John represented someone very much to the left of the centre of the jazz guitar world. One of the first people, really, who was able to create his own career and his own sound, and he really defines a big part of the ECM guitar sound, a big part of even someone like Kenny Wheeler's music. He's a huge loss to the jazz community.
It sort of cracked the shell of what it meant to be a guitarist in jazz or in music.
Really did. He's such a great accompanist, so good with kind of his sonic palette, was able to play with people as chops heavy as Michael Brecker, as well as people who were much more interested in texture and ambience, like, I don't know, Enrico Rava, or, you know, he covers the gamut, really.
Or Ralph Towner.
Or Ralph Towner, exactly.
Well, for those not familiar with John Abercrombie's music and his career, he was born in Portchester, New York in 1944 and grew up in Greenwich, Connecticut, and was inspired to pick up the guitar hearing rock and roll. But soon enough, it was Barney Kessel, Wes Montgomery, and Jim Hall that called Abercrombie firmly to his musical path. He studied at the prestigious Berklee College of Music, rooming with the keyboardist and future fellow fusion innovator Jan Hammer. He worked in the organ trio of Johnny Hammond Smith before leaving Boston to seek his musical fortune in New York City. He quickly established himself as a guitarist of choice for many great artists, including legendary drummer Chico Hamilton. He signed to the burgeoning ECM label, which would be the home of his vast and varied recording future. His debut album, called Timeless, is a touchstone, and it features Jack DeJohnette on drums and his old roommate Jan Hammer. His gateway album, and I know, Rob, you're a big fan of this record, with bassman Dave Holland and DeJohnette, was another hit group on which he built other musical collaborations that included sitar player Colin Walcott and trumpet original Don Cherry. He was a founder member of Dreams with the Brecker brothers, Michael and Randy, and drum superstar Billy Cobham. Then he entered a new chapter that moved his sound toward a stronger acoustic sensibility. Duets with fellow guitarist Ralph Towner and pianist Richie Byrek, who was a mainstay in his first established quartet, signified on what sound canvas he would paint his future work. His most recent recording, Up and Coming, features his working quartet of Mark Copeland on piano, Drew Gress on bass, and Joey Barron on drums, and shows an artist very much in step with contemporary creative investigation. His playing style is the pathway from Jim Hall through fusion to the likes of superstars Pat Metheny and John Scofield, and leaves a rich legacy of great interest to serious up-and-coming listeners and students of the music, like you, Rob.
Yeah, I'd say John is the body of work which he has left people like me is sizable, and I really need to go home and listen to a lot of it, because there are, like you say, albums like Timeless and Gateway, which are, for me, albums that I'll take to my deathbed.
Right.
But then there are other albums which are slightly more obscure. For me, he's someone that represents the bridge between Jim Hall and the more rock side of jazz guitar. So, yeah, like we said earlier, we're talking about Jimi Hendrix. I'm talking about the blues. This is someone that came from the Jim Hall school of jazz guitar, you know, and moved it in a more rock direction, whereas someone like Bill Frisell took it in a more country direction. And, you know, he's one of these essential figures in jazz guitar from the first and the second waves of fusion, I think.
Yeah, I mean, in a way, he sort of anticipates what's to come, because he's slightly older than many of the stars that we're familiar with, like Pat Metheny and John Scofield. Sort of anticipates their coming by laying the groundwork of the directions that are possible and plausible.
Yeah, and he does it in such a tasteful, modest way, because he plays with his thumb in much the same way as Wes Montgomery or Jim Mullen, or, you know, and he's got this just modesty and humility about his playing, which someone from that slightly younger generation of Metheny's and Schofields, who had chops all over the place. You know, I think Abercrombie is very much a team player. I love it.
Yeah, I mean, someone described him as a person who possesses the fire of the blue variety.
Mm, wow, that's great. It's really true. He's a blue fire, absolutely. He's a contributor. You know, he's really a contributor to the sound of a group.
Well, thank you, Rob. Well, I've dug into the archives, courtesy of the European Broadcast Union, and found a concert featuring John and his quartet recorded at the Guitar Festival in Vienna, Austria, on Friday the 30th of March 2007. Is this a group that you were familiar with?
I wish I could say it was, because looking at the names in the group, these are some of my favourite musicians, and I was, you know, astonished just to hear Joey Barron playing with John Abercrombie. It's such a great sound. Joey Barron is really a great drummer and a guitarist, any guitarist's band, I think.
Certainly.
So it's fantastic to hear the two of them.
Because, of course, he played in John Scofield's band.
Absolutely, and in Bill Frisell's band, and now he's playing in this fantastic trio led by Jakob Bro with Thomas Morgan.
Ah,
amazing.
See? Mm. Well, Mark Feldman's on violin, Mark Johnson is on the bass, joining Joey Barron, who's playing the drums, and John Abercrombie is leading from the guitar. And this is Abercrombie's Ballad number 26. Thank you.
Mark Johnson on the bass. Mark Feldman on violin. Myself, John Abercrombie. You've been a wonderful audience. Thank you.
The John Abercrombie Quartet with Mark Feldman on violin, Mark Johnson on the bass, Joey Barron on drums, and John Abercrombie on the guitar. This is Jazz Lineup with me, Julian Joseph, online on FM and on digital radio, and I'm still joined by my special guest, guitarist Rob Luft. Well, Rob, we just heard Abercrombie, and one of the great hallmarks of his approach is his ability to leave space for the other musicians to breathe, and then when he interjects, it's very subtle and very, and it moves the music ahead.
As a band leader at this point, he's able to be both supportive to people like Mark Feldman, who is out the front, and also able to contribute and be very proactive as a leader. And, you know, it's just great to hear.
You had a masterclass with him.
Yes, I did. I was very fortunate to meet John fairly recently, actually. And he was hilarious and was talking about how he plays with the piano, because this was the, with the duo that he had with Mark Copeland, who originally I think was a saxophone player,
that's right,
come pianist later in his career, and that was a great duo, and they played so good together. And I remember John had some fantastic stuff about how he would never have played a ballad or something. We played Body and Soul or something, and he commented and said, "You guys sound like Bill Frisell." Not how I would have personally chosen to play that, but, you know, valid nonetheless, which I thought was absolutely hilarious. And he sounded incredible, right? And even at, you know, at this late stage, I mean, he had a bit of an illness towards the end, but he was still playing so good,
really, yeah,
right up until the end.
Absolutely. Well, what's the next piece of Abercrombie, and what should we listen out for?
So I've brought along a piece called Jomala from Gateway, which is this trio album that we talked about earlier with Dave Holland and Jack DeJohnette. And it's a 70s ECM album, on which the first track is absolutely stunning, but it's a little bit too sprawling, I believe, for any kind of radio play. And it's such a great opening to the album. But this is a later track on the album called Jomala, and it's rubato, it's open, it's textural. The harmony is beautiful, the composition is great, and it's fantastic to hear these legends of jazz music playing in such an open and beautiful way.
Well, let's have a listen. This is Jomala. John Abercrombie and Jamala from his 1975 recording Gateway. Well, we're almost running out of time, and on next week's show, we'll hear previously unheard jazz lineup recordings from Norwegian pianist Tord Gustafsson, Austrian percussionist Manu Delago, and pianist Greg Foat. Jazz Now on Monday night at 11 will feature Nerea in concert at the Pizza Express Jazz Club in London. And Rob, it's been great hearing your thoughts on guitar in the jazz realm and talking about John Abercrombie.
Thanks, Julian, for having me on the show. It's been great to just check out John Abercrombie in a bit more depth, and also Martin Taylor, who we also heard. It's been a real pleasure.
Fantastic to have you, Rob. Let's sign off with another track from your album, Riser, out on edition with the official launch at King's Place in London on September the 23rd. Well, this is the title track from me, Julian Jessop, and Rob Luft. Until next time, bye-bye.
That was Riser by guitarist Rob Luft, ending tonight's jazz lineup. The programme was presented by Julian Joseph and produced in Glasgow by Sushil K. Dade. Well, Julian mentioned Jazz Now on Monday night, but you can also tune in to Geoffrey Smith's Jazz Tonight, when he'll be considering the extent to which classical traditions have influenced jazz musicians, from Louis Armstrong and Coleman Hawkins to Lenny Tristano and Chick Corea. Geoffrey Smith will be here with that tonight at midnight.
BBC Proms, part of BBC Music.
After 8 weeks of first-class music-making, the world's biggest classical music festival lets its hair down for the last night of the proms. It's time for a bit of fun. Some boisterous singing. And, of course, lots more music. The last night of the proms, live from the Royal Albert Hall, tonight at 7:15, on television, online, and on BBC Radio 3.
Well, quite apart from those tried and tested favourites in the second half, which of course you'll also be able to see on BBC One, music in part one includes a BBC commission, the first performance of a piece called Flounce by the young Finnish composer Lotta Venäkoski. The conductor is Finnish as well, of course, Sakari Oromo. He takes charge of tonight's prom, the very last of the season, beginning at 7:15. Well, we're leading up to it now on Radio 3 with 45 minutes in the company of some of our new generation artists. Later, the Van Cuyck Quartet will be playing Haydn, but we're going to start with a Russian violinist who signed up to the scheme in 2010. Alexandra Sum won her first major prize at the age of 15. She's since embarked on a solo career, but her main goal is to bring classical music to people who've never heard it, particularly in schools, where she's determined to make children understand what it is about the music that makes people like her want to play it. We're going to hear her now in Beethoven, his third violin sonata, Opus 12, No. 3, which he dedicated to Salieri. The pianist is Julien Quentin. Thank you.